For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
And in our lives, He has provided a Redeemer. We're going to learn more about that tonight. Glory to God. Let's close in prayer, open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you and glorify you. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. And Father, I pray that tonight the word be clear, we go forth as you want it to. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. So tonight we're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. Is our Redeemer. And if we understand this word redeem in just a fundamental term, it just means to buy back, to buy back. And just you may know, just even in today's society, you can put something in a pawn shop, and then to redeem it you then have to go and pay money to get it back. But of course, in the sense, in the biblical sense, the payment is not money to buy us, it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll look at that in more detail as well. So the redemption for us in the biblical sense is that the price has been paid to buy mankind back from sin and its curse. The price paid was the blood of Christ. So the Redeemer was the one who made the payment, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll start from verse 1 in Ephesians chapter 2. And as we look at this, we see that it's a wonderful thing that the Lord has done for mankind. And of course, in Ephesians 2, starting from verse 1, it shows, I guess you could see the progression here, and we'll just go through it. Starting from verse 1, we'll go to verse 7 of Ephesians 2 here. And you hath he quickened, means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We see that word dead, don't think extinction, think separation. Okay, so when you're dead in trespasses and sins, then that means you are separated from God by your trespasses and sins. In other words, your sins were between you and God. You were not reconciled to God, but you were in fact at enmity with Him because of your sin, and deserving of the wrath of God. So, you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the power of the prince of the power of the air, it's another name for Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh. That conversation is manner of life, your words and actions and how you live your life. In times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So you can see, by nature we were sinners, deserving of the wrath of God, because we were servants of sin, we were sold under sin, we were dead in trespasses and sins. And so that was our nature, as the children of wrath. And we, of course, were also the children of disobedience. So we were disobedient to God, and that's what sin is all about. Disobedience to God, which separates people from God. Because God reached out, praise the Lord that He did. And verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Grace is God's favour and His enablement. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So we were in the dunghill of sin, but he has raised us up now to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So all who have received Christ as their Saviour now have him as the one who has raised them up, and we'll see that he is now our Redeemer. Glory to God. We could go on in that, but let's go across to Ephesians 5, verse 12. So we see where we were. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but God, who is rich in mercy, even when we were dead, he reached out. He reached out to mankind. 5 and verse 12 here of... Sorry, that's Romans 5, verse 12. So let's go back to that. Romans 5, verse 12. So we see here, and we saw before, that the nature of mankind without Christ is that they're dead in trespasses and sins and deserving of wrath, and they're children of wrath, children of disobedience. And we see here how sin came in. Here it says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So you see that something had to be done to deal with that sin, and there had to be a payment that was made. In the Old Testament there was an atonement, a payment made yearly, and it was through the blood of animals. But the atonement we have, is the blood of Jesus, I should say, which lasts forever. We can see, look at verse 11, and it says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So that's the permanent one. If you look back at Leviticus 17, verse 11, we see what that payment had to be in the eyes of God, because obviously the wages of sin is death, it's separation from God, and so there had to be something that was connected with death, but also connected with life as well. And so the blood is seen, as we see here in Leviticus 17, verse 11. The blood is seen as the payment that God accepts. 17 verse 11, you see, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. You see, the animals that were offered in the Old Testament had to be without blemish, so the lambs without blemish, and of course we know the Lord Jesus Christ is also known as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. So we know that he is the perfect Lamb with the perfect blood, because he was born, God manifest in the flesh, born of a virgin, and so his blood was pure and perfect. So God has set the standard that the blood maketh an atonement or a payment for the soul, and but the blood of animals was never a perfect solution. It had to be the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that blood gives us what we know as redemption. So that redemption has many benefits that's attached to it. Glory to God. Also have a look at 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, because this shows the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the earth. So remember that in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, it was not a permanent covenant, because it was based on that blood sacrifice of animals, but we know that there is that perfect and pure, and 1 Peter talks about precious blood of the Lamb. Precious blood of the Lamb. And looking at 1 Timothy 1 verse 15 here, we see that there was the mission satisfied, so to speak, or what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, why he came in. Verse 15 of 1 Timothy 1 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that is, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So you can see here, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So sinners, as we know, are servants of sin, and when you're saved, you become a servant of righteousness, a servant of God. You're no longer a sinner. If you were still a sinner, you would still be dead in trespasses and sins. So never call yourself a sinner if you've been saved by grace. You are now a saint of the Lord, a servant of righteousness. You have a pure spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And then you go forward in sanctification of your soul and your body. Glory to God. So looking here, and we need to see this in more detail as we go forward. Look at Acts 20 verse 28. We see that the payment, and it's very clear, the payment of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's come to save sinners. He paid that payment. And this is a very good one to show to people if they're not clear about what that payment is. And Acts 20 verse 28 makes it abundantly clear. So it's a good one, as I said, to show to people and make it very clear this is the payment that was made. Verse 28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." So we see that the church of God was purchased with his own blood. That's God's own blood. And Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. So it's a good one to see that there was a purchase, and it was the purchase of the church of God. Well, those that make up the church of God are those that are saved, okay, born again. And that's important for us to understand that. We have been bought with a price. We have been bought with a price. So let's have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And when you see that you've been bought with a price, immediately you see that you're not your own. You shouldn't be walking in your own ways, but you now walk in the way of the Lord as a son and daughter of the King, as a servant of the Lord, a servant of Christ, the Bible also says. So you're not slaves, by the way. The modern versions have it all wrong there, but they say that you're slaves of Christ. You are servants of Christ, servants of God. A slave has no free will. A servant does. So that's a very bad blasphemy, actually, in the modern versions. Looking at verses 19 and 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Let that sink deep within your heart. Verse 20, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You know, G-O-D apostrophe S at the end there, showing that God owns us. So it's an important thing for you to understand that you've been bought with a price, the price of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of God. Glory to God. Now that whole idea of the blood being an atonement, and we read that in Ephesians 2 that Jesus is the final atonement that's been made. That whole idea is connected with the redemption, that now we are in a position where there are blessings attached to that, and we're no longer part of the curse of the law. We're no longer attached to that curse, but now we have a position in Christ whereby we are redeemed people. We are people that have been bought and paid for, and now we live and reign with Christ himself. Glory to God. So if you have a look at Colossians chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 12 to 17 of Colossians here. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. Now, when we're looking at this, we see the word redemption comes up. Okay? And so looking at, starting from verse 12 of Colossians 1, it says, giving thanks unto the Father. Well, we should give thanks all the time unto the Father. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Think about that. We were sold and under the power of darkness. So who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, that's in Christ, in his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. See that? Even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created. Glory to God. So he's the creator, he's God, manifest in the flesh. By him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, it is a wonderful thing to think that the Creator paid for you and me to have redemption and those redemption benefits, that blessing. It's the Creator who has redeemed us so that we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now remember what we read before, that before we were born again, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were separated from God. We were in a terrible position. We were in a position deserving of wrath and deserving of the judgment of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ was our substitute. The Bible says he became a curse for us. We'll read that in a minute. And it's very clear that by him taking our place and taking that curse and redeeming us through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, that sin is no longer held against us, and we are no longer part or partakers of the curse. And so we should be walking in redemption benefits, in that redemption through his blood. Glory to God. So think about that. The Creator has redeemed you through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It's a wonderful thing to think about there. So let's have a look at Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14, because this is a real key to understanding now. Okay, we're redeemed. We've been brought back from the curse and delivered out of the power of darkness. So now we are in a position as the redeemed, a position whereby we have benefits and blessings, and we're no longer deserving of wrath, and we have been redeemed from, as we're going to read in a minute, redeemed from the curse of the law. So look at verse 13 and 14 of Galatians 3. Christ hath redeemed us, it's past tense, isn't it, from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So he was made a curse for us. Think about that. He was our perfect substitute. And that satisfied the Lord. that satisfy the Lord. You can read many scriptures, in Isaiah 53, for example, that prophecy, it talks about God being satisfied with his death, satisfied with what had happened. And, of course, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is now, as that eternal payment, is now forever in God's sight been paid, and so it will never be forgotten. And it's precious. It's called precious in 1 Peter chapter 1, for example. And he is precious. The Lord Jesus Christ is precious to us. So it's precious blood. And it says that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Well, the curse of the law is something we'll talk about in just a minute. And yes, it includes that we've been forgiven of sin. We saw that in Colossians 1. The curse of the law has a broad aspect to it of what was attached to sin. Well, the curse was attached to sin. And what did the law of God say? Well, the law was all about obedience to God. The curse of the law is for the children of disobedience. If you're no longer a child of disobedience, then the curse of the law won't be applying to you because you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And verse 14 talks about what now comes into our life, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Well, of course, we were born again through the Spirit, and now all types of things come through the Spirit of God in our life, in our heart, praise God. And of course, that means access also into the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the power of God and so on. So notice it's the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Call yourself blessed. Say, I am blessed. I am blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm no longer cursed. I'm no longer under the curse of the law. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Glory to God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's have a look at just a couple of things in Deuteronomy 28, because we need to understand that the curse of the law covers things like separation from God and deserving of wrath and sickness and disease and infirmity and all types of poverty and lack. And what does God offer in his blessings, the blessing that he has given us, but deliverance and healing and strength and peace and love, all the wonderful things, prosperity, all of that. And if we look at Deuteronomy 28, we'll look at verses 1 to 6 first of all. We don't have time to go through all of this, but certainly some aspects of it we'll quickly go through. Let's start from verse 1 to verse 8. Now you notice that it talks about hearkening to God and obeying him. And so you can see that the law of God is all about us listening and obeying, and this is what God wants and this is his will. And you know, now that we have Christ in our lives, he is our strength, and I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So we can keep the law of God by Christ being in our life. In other words, we rely on his strength to do things. Glory to God. Starting verse 1, it says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep, Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. So you can see there's all types of blessing that now is in our life. Glory to God. Should be in our life. And we can claim that. We can take hold of that. But what's the curse? Well, if you go across to verse 15, we'll read a few verses in verse 15. It's the opposite to the blessing, isn't it? The opposite to the blessing. This is the curse of the law. This is the law of God. And it's the opposite to the blessing. Starting with verse 15, we'll just go down to... we don't have to go very far, but to verse 18. And we read here, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and all his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store." That affects your prosperity, doesn't it? "Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out." And it talks about... Now, when it says the Lord shall send upon thee cursing and sickness and all that type of thing, it's only because of the judgment. Because if you think about it, sin must be judged by a righteous God, by a righteous judge. And in that sense, that judgment has been sent. And it can only be the curse, because God can't judge sin by blessing it, if you can understand what I'm saying. He judges sin by saying, well, you've rejected the blessing, so therefore here's the curse. There's no other option. In fact, in another scripture, it talks about, "I set before thee blessing and cursing. Choose blessing that thou mayest live." Glory to God. That's very, very good, isn't it? Good news for us. So, you know, you can go right through Deuteronomy 28 and you'll see that the curse goes on and on and on, and we need to see that we are no longer under that. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law, because we're no longer children of disobedience. We're no longer children of wrath. That was our nature, but our nature has now been changed to being children of God. Okay, servants of righteousness, servants of God. And that's something that is a good thing for us to understand. A good thing, because when we see that, then we know that the Lord, in his love, reached out. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, his great mercy reached out to mankind. And now he doesn't want mankind to be under the curse. He wants mankind to have the blessing and to receive of that redemption which has been provided through the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lord. We know that it is a permanent payment, and so our redemption is also permanent. And those blessings that can come into our life, as we understand that and as we grow in the knowledge of God, we can partake of those redemption blessings. You know, if people refuse that or go their own way, well, they can start to partake of the curse of sin. But that's not us. We should be people that are obedient to the Lord, understanding his ways, having our minds renewed, our souls prospering, so that we can see the ways of the Lord, which is the ways of blessing. Glory to God. I'll close at Psalm 19, verse 14. Let's look at that. Psalm 19, verse 14. You will know this one very well. It's a good one. Good one for you to pray. Good one for you to confess. Glory to God. So it might be a good one to write up on the wall, on a piece of paper, and put it on the wall. And just to keep it so that it's fresh in your mind and heart. And it says in Psalm 19 verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Isn't that good? We can say that the Lord is my strength. That's personal. Think about that. The creator of the universe, he's my strength and my redeemer. Glory to God. He personally paid for my redemption and for me to be strong. When you think of it that way, you know that he has your interests at heart and he loves you. Yes, you. You personally. Every single one of us. He loves us and he loves us all. And praise the Lord, we can now enjoy his love and joy in him forever because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done through that wonderful redemption. So our responsibility is that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart are acceptable in his sight. That tells us that there can be words of our mouth and meditation of our heart that would be unacceptable. We need to deal with that and make sure that we are living so that the words of our mouth and the words of our heart are acceptable in God's sight. So it's an everyday walk, isn't it? As we walk as the children of God, washed clean by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we go forward and we have the washing of the water of the Word of God that's constantly coming into our lives and washing away wrong thinking, wrong ways, and so on. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you indeed are merciful and you have shown mercy to us in sending the Lord Jesus Christ and have... Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the blood that was shed by the Lord Jesus Christ, that precious blood. Thank you for our redemption, that we are redeemed and we have the forgiveness of sins. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. Thank you that we have blessing. Blessing, Lord. And we praise you and thank you. And Lord, we ask that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we will be diligent. We will be diligent to examine ourselves daily, to go forward in you. And we praise you and thank you. Thank you, thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord Jesus, we praise you that you are our strength and our Redeemer. Glory to God. Everyone said, amen. Praise God. Glory.